Okay, welcome back. This is Sylvain Chamberlain, Nudo. As I said in part three, as we closed, I'm just going to get right into part four. Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. Thank you so much for being here. The Nirvana Sutra says, when nothing is realized, it is called wisdom. When something is realized, it is called delusion. It's quite a statement. Kind of have to think about that one. Tao Yuan says, the Buddha is saying, because my inner mind was empty, there wasn't a single thought that could realize anything. And because the external world was extinguished, there wasn't any Dharma that I could realize. Because there was no subject or object, Dipankara prophesied my Buddhahood. So, from the Diamond Sutra, and how so, Tathagata? Subhuti is another name for what is truly real. Tathagata. Subhuti is another name for the Dharma with no beginning. Tathagata, Subhuti, is another name for the end of Dharmas. Tathagata, Subhuti, is another name for what never begins. And how so? No beginning, Subhuti, is the highest truth. So, I don't know if you're getting this, but Shakyamuni just continues to repeat the same thing with different words. But now that Subhuti has moved on from his Hinayana understanding and is now immersed in the Bodhisattva way of Mahayana, Shakyamuni's rhetoric has changed a little bit. And now he feels comfortable in saying to Subhuti, you know, this idea you have in your head of Tathagata, as you answer me all the time with Tathagata, Bhagavan, all these honorific terms for me, I want you to think about what Tathagata actually means. Not as an honorific, but as an actual invocation of nothing. Nothing beginningless. To be beginningless, to be birthless, is to not exist. But this isn't the same non-self as Hinayana teaches. This is beyond non-self. It's beyond the idea entirely of selfness. See, there's a very, very profound difference between the two. Okay, in Sanskrit, tatha points to what is real and is usually translated as thus or truly. It can also be shortened to tat. Hence, tathagata can be parsed as tathagata and mean thus gone. Or as tath agata, and mean thus come. But what has thus come? Nothing. What is something that was something but now is nothing? Thus gone. It's two sides of the same coin, right? Sorry, I keep shaking the monitor, sorry, the video. With the meaning dependent on the situation. It usually means thus gone, when the emphasis is on liberation from samsara and realization of nirvana. And it means thus come, when the emphasis is on appearing in the world to teach others. Two sides of the same coin, right? But regardless of whether a Tathagata comes or goes, or neither comes or goes, a Tathagata remains Bhutatatha, truly real, not delusionally real. Because the Tathagata puts an end to all existence, past, present, and future, and is free of such perceptions as coming or going. And we're back at perceptions. You could say a deluded mind is the world of perception. Because if you have no perception, because there's nothing to perceive, then you have completely cleansed your mind, and that is the Buddha mind. Make sense? What is tathāta, truly so, cannot be seen or realized because it has no beginning. Hence, a bodhisattva cannot set forth on a path that does not begin, nor realize what never exists. This is the Dharmakaya, the real body of every Buddha. This is what Dipankara saw without seeing and Sumedha realized without realizing. Once again, the use of the word body. The real body of every Buddha. What is the real body of every Buddha? If nothing begins and nothing truly exists, then the real body of the Buddha is in the mind. It's not physical. It doesn't exist. And here's where the words fall apart. It's a perception of no perception. It's a fallacy of language. But if you follow with the logic, it becomes apparent that what we're trying to achieve has always been there. We're not going somewhere else to get there. We are getting there in the place that already exists. We just don't see it for all the corn stalks. We have thousands of analogies in our human languages about that. Can't see the forest for the trees. Can't, you know, on and on and on and on. But really think about what that means. Okay. Among the 14 subjects about which the Buddha refused to speak, 8 concerned the nature of the universe, 2 concerned the nature of life, and 4 concerned the nature of Tathagata. Whether a Tathagata exists after death, whether a Tathagata does not exist after death, whether a Tathagata both exists and does not exist after death, and whether a Tathagata neither exists nor does not exist after death. I think you can understand by now why he never responded to those things. First of all, there are no words. Secondly, by the time you get it, there's no need to talk about it because it doesn't exist. But that might turn people off to even trying to practice, right? In the Perfection of Wisdom in 700 lines, the Buddha, there are many versions of the Prajnaparamita Sutra. So read all of them. But again, I encourage you to read this one because of so much expert commentary. It really helps as you proceed through this avalanche of words. In the Perfection of Wisdom in 700 lines, the Buddha asked, "You call me a Tathagata, but do you really think I am a Tathagata?" And the Bodhisattva of Wisdom answered, "No, Bhagavan, I do not think you are a Tathagata, for there is nothing in what is real that distinguishes it as real, nor does a Tathagata possess any wisdom capable of knowing what is real, because the Tathagata and wisdom are not two different things. A Tathagata is emptiness, thus Tathagata is only a name. How then can I consider anyone a Tathagata?" Let's see if I can pause this. My phone's going off because I need to take medication, so I'm going to have to interrupt this real quick. Maybe I'll call this part 4A and the continuation part. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to parse this talk, but we'll get there together. Hang on.